This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians, the sixth chapter, one more time. Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows. For whatever, everybody say whatever. whatever a man sows. You sow good stuff, bad stuff, slothful stuff, diligent stuff, whatever you sow. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That shall he also reap. You have what you have sown. For he who sows to his flesh, this is the things that go contrary to God's word, will of the flesh reap corruption. You will. We will reap corruption. We can sow whatever we want, but we will reap whatever we've sown. And he says, but he who sows to the Spirit, to the things of God, will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everlasting life. In other words, we're here today and we should be living life. If you're living anything below life right now, it's because you're living below your privileges. You're living below what God intended for you to live. I guess the economy is never perfect and gas is never where we want it and all those kind of things. But how many knows right now is the best time of your life? Because it's today. Today is the day the Lord hath made. And so we ought to be enjoying today wherever you are, whatever state you're in. He says, and let us not grow weary. How many says there is a weary time? There's a time when we can grow weary. You know, for all of us that's been married 30, 40, 50 years, Dustin, there's a weary time. There's a weary time in there. You know, he's traveled alone for years, and now he's going to travel with a mate. And how many knows it's just different when you travel alone for a while and you travel with somebody, it's just different. Now you have to wait on them. Now you have all their goodness and all their pet peeves. Now you have all their good qualities and all their aggravating qualities. And so there's a weary time in there. In relationships in general, there's a weary time, isn't there? With the people that you love the most, there's a weary time. In the job that you really, maybe some of you have the job of your dreams that you love the most, there's a weary time. And that's all he's saying. He's saying just be aware there's a weary time. You know, the praisers do a great job praising and the musicians playing, but sometimes it's just weary, isn't it? You know, if you've been playing at night somewhere or had a busy weekend and you get here early to show up to practice, there's just a weary time sometime. But he said, you know what, if you just keep sowing through the weary times, the good stuff, the good seeds that you know to sow, he said, you're going to reap everlasting life. It's going to come up. That life's going to spring forth. And so what you have today is what you've created by what you've sown. And that's really important for us to own that. That's an ownership statement, that you own where you are. Don't blame the economy. Don't blame, the weather, whatever you want to blame. Just don't blame. Just say, I have what I have today in all areas of my life because of what I've done, good and bad. And we reap the consequences and we enjoy the blessings, whatever we've sown. But there's a weary time, and do not grow weary. It won't come on y'all at once, but he says, but don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. It's a growing time, and it'll grow, it'll wear you down. I've heard people say, I'm just wore out. I'm just, you know, it's don't grow weary. Well, don't go there, you know. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting rest, isn't it? How many knows if you sow the candle, burn at both ends, after a while, you will grow weary, physically. And so to incorporate in there. Here's something I've learned over the years that's really been helpful to me is there's a time when you need to just sow fun and relaxation. One of the most powerful, profound statements I ever heard, I guess, as a young preacher, was at a teaching time with our Christian education leader in our denomination. And he said, and there's a whole group of us young preachers in there, it was probably my early 30s, and he said, I want to tell you something that I'll never want you to forget it. Once a week, he said, let the world go to hell. and you take care of yourself and your family. And man, that just shot in my heart like a bullet. And I thought, well, we can't let the world go to hell. And I thought, later on, I thought, what wisdom that was. In other words, you know what, you can't be on. Now, it doesn't mean we're not a Christian 24/7. That doesn't change, right? We're a Christian wherever we go. In fact, if you're not the same in the dark as you are in the light, then you're sowing some bad seed somewhere. If we're not the same as we are in the light as we are in the dark. And but he said, the thing is we're not going to grow weary, we have to strike a balance, is what I'm saying, to have fun. I remember one of the funniest times of my life, Jan and I, God had called me to pastor this church. We were right in the middle of losing a home. I know what it's like to lose a home, and then for God to call me right in the middle of all that. And we were growing weary. And I was in the shower one day and taking a shower, and my young bride says to me, "What are we going to do?" And she, you could tell the weary was on her face as well. I said, "We're going to trust God." And I just reached around the shower curtain and I dragged her in the shower, clothes and all. She said, "Why are you doing?" I said, "We're just going to have fun and trust Jesus." And we just both busted out laughing as we were losing a home serving Jesus. You say, well, you as poor stewards. Probably so. I was a hard worker and made, I thought, really good money, more than I'd ever made before and as a young contractor. But we were growing weary while we were doing good, and that was just one little break. I thought, you know what? There's no need to, we can stress or we can just count the blessings. I saw a bumper sticker the other day I thought was just profound. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Isn't that good? Sometimes we just need to put that across our forehead, look in the mirror, you know, and because we see all we need and what we don't have and how high everything is or whatever, you know, what hurts or aches or what relationships out of sync, and too blessed to be stressed. It's a good saying, isn't it? But there's a weary time, he says, and I'll caution you against it, he says, and so don't grow weary while you're doing good. Now, if you're not doing good, you might want to think about that, because if you're growing weary and you're not doing good, that's a bad place to be, isn't it? So along with growing weary, he says, don't grow weary while doing good. Everybody say good. The success of my day is not dependent upon the harvest that I reap, but the seeds that I sow. The success of your day. What seeds did you sow today? Did you sow something to learn? Did you sow something to shine to someone as Jesus Christ? What did you learn today? What did you do today? What good thing did you do today? Don't grow weary while you're doing good. Now, if you're Judas and you're growing weary while you're doing evil, that's a bad place to be. If you're Saul and you're in disobedience and while you're growing weary, that's a bad place to be. And for the next 20 years, he was terrible. He had no rest, he had no peace, he had nothing because he was growing weary while he was doing bad, while he was eat up with envy, jealousy, strife. So don't grow weary while you're doing good. Very powerful key in there, doing good. What good thing can I do today? It says, for in due season, you know there's coming a reaping time, isn't there, in due season. Just keep planting good seeds, just keep planting good seeds. There's a reaping time. Yesterday I went and got Addie. Our homeowners association put on an egg hunt, and I was told they were going to be across at the school, and I took off a little late, so I called Michael and I said, "Get Addie ready because I'm running a little late and I need to pick her up or we're not going to get there in time." And so she met me out at the curb and was ready to go with her little basket, and we jotted off toward the school, and we got to the school and there's nobody there, and I finally got out of the traffic and got around back of the school. Thought, well, they must be around back. They weren't there. I was growing weary because of slothfulness. See, it wasn't because of good stuff I was growing weary. And so I can't get out on the highway to get across to go back. I thought, well, Addie, I don't know where they're at. We'll just go see your nanny, and I'm sorry. And then I started saying stuff like, man, we can't even get out of this traffic. And there's a grandma. You know, when you're hurrying, you're growing weary, how many knows everybody's slower? And I'm not exaggerating at all. This little grandma finally, after all, and she'd wait till she couldn't see anybody in sight. And finally she turns, and I'm like, turn, grandma, turn! You know, and so Addie comes in, I'm sowing seeds of stress, and guess what she does? She begins to harp with me. What is wrong with your street, Papa? What is wrong with your street? Don't grow weary while doing good. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to get her to an Easter egg hunt. Have a little Papa and Addie time. It's not working out. So she starts harping with me. And so I pull, finally we get out of the street. And Grandma goes, I thought her car had died, really. She was having trouble. But she went all in the dish in that way. And I thought, she's going to kill us all. She's going to get us all killed. So I got into the addition and I looked in there and it said, egg hunt, 11 a.m. at the clubhouse. Now what was really aggravating when the lady called and I gave a little donation for the prizes and I said, why aren't we having it at the clubhouse? Oh, because that green belt back there has got sticks and stuff and we're not having it there. We're having it at the school. And I told Addie, that's where I told him to have it, right there. That's why I said, why aren't you having it there in the first place? So we ran on down and I said, hurry. So we're jogging, you know, we're growing weary while doing good and we're jogging along and I can see the field now out behind our clubhouse and it's all the eggs are gone. And I said, well, Addie, we tried, you know, we tried and the lady saw us and she said, oh, there's an egg over here. And so we ran over and got an egg. And it was so cute. There were people, you talk about sowing and reaping. There's people saying, they heard Addie and they heard me and this lady. And so they go, drop. Eggs, drop. Somebody said, looks like the Easter Bunny's laying eggs around here. Drop, drop. You know, and they're dropping eggs for Addison. And so I said, oh, look, Addison, another egg. And so she runs over. And so we didn't quit. We didn't faint. And we got to reap. We could have just walked out to the edge and seen all the eggs and the activity done and said, you know, but, you know, sometimes we get right there, just like me and Addie, and we get right there and we just look and it looks like it's vacant. So we just take our good seed and we put them back in our pocket and we don't invest anymore. Are you with me? And don't grow weary. Now, sometimes you got to really pray, especially when it's sown to spiritual things. How many knows the greatest spiritual seed ever sown was through our Savior, Jesus Christ? And boy, did He grow weary when it came to giving His life for me and you. And He says, hey, I need some help here. This is a big seed for me. I'm planting my life here. For people like Jack, I mean, this is, you know, weigh that out. And so he sows his life for me and you. But boy, what a harvest, huh? What a spiritual seed sown. Now, everybody that comes and believes, whosoever will come and believe and confess, you know, he shall be saved. And so that's a great spiritual harvest. On the way up from the one of her eggs, you could go in, and if it had a little pink slip in it, it says prize, you could go up to the clubhouse and claim a prize. And so one of her few eggs had a prize in it. And she got to go up and claim her prize. And we're walking back up through there, and I said, you know, I'm sorry that we got here so late, and I'll prepare better next time. And she said, you know, Papa, you're just not too smart, are you? No, I'm not, you know. You know what started that comment? What I sowed, wasn't it? See? What I sowed. Whatever you sow, that's the environment you're going to have. And these words that's coming out of my mouth, how many knows this is our spiritual sower right here? What we think and basically what we say. Whatever comes out of your mouth, he said, reveals the treasure, where your heart is. And she just picked up on that quickly. And so my point is, it's a simple illustration, but watch what we sow verbally, because we're creating a harvest, a spiritual harvest around us of complainers or worshipers. Are you with me? Because we're all going through the same economy. I mean, those gas is the same for you when you pull into the pump as it is for me. Your car may get better than 12 miles a gallon. That's what me and Jim's new Fords get. Hallelujah. But that's what we chose. But if it's too high, I'll get on my motorcycle. It gets about 50 miles a gallon. And if I can't afford that, I'll walk somewhere because God has given me health. See, now that's sowing spiritually, isn't it? In a good, positive manner. So, don't grow weary. And then he just reminds us one more thing. Therefore, somebody said, when you see therefore, you need to see what it's there for. Therefore, as we have opportunity. Sometimes you're like me. It was a good thought. It was a positive thing. I wanted to do good, but it just, you know, because of my getting around late and my slothfulness, it kind of went south, and then I didn't make it better. But as we have opportunity, let us do good to those of the household of faith, especially to those of the household of faith. So there's opportunity. Now go with me to Matthew the 13th chapter. And I want to show you something, and I want to look at it a little different than what we normally look at it. We normally look at this as evangelism. I want to look at it today in a personal light where we're looking at our own lives. This is, you know, we always think about the stony place and the thorns and all that as we're trying to plant some evangelistic seeds, and they're just not coming up, you know, or they're in here's why. And when we, most of us anyway, put this on other people. You know, this is like other. Today I want us to put ourselves here. I want us to, we're the one that needs the sowing done. And so let's look at it in a different light today, because this is really what you have today spiritually is from this right here. This is whatever your spiritual life is, good or bad, most of it comes from this. This is your heart. So let's look at this today in light, not as looking out at somebody else's, sowing seeds in somebody else's life, but sowing seeds in our own life. Okay? Matthew 13:1. On the same day, Jesus went out of his house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. You know, Eric, I was thinking the other day, I think we got this backwards. I think we're supposed to be sitting and preaching while everybody else is standing. Yeah, be like Jesus, right? Boy, I'm kidding. You get to sit, okay? Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. A sower went out to sow. And we look over in verse 18, it says, therefore hear the word of the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the kingdom of God. When anyone hears. So it's just, you know, the word really is this, isn't it? The seed is the word. Here's the word. So this is the seed we establish is the word of God. And the sower can be anyone. We can be the sower. The word is the seed. And so when we go, we can sow seeds. And that's why he said, get this word and you'll sow seeds in your own heart. That's why he said, if you'll get this and believe it, you know, get the word, your faith builds. Why is your faith built? Because you're putting seeds in your heart. And you're seeing what God said and you're believing it. So your faith is rising. It's like putting, if you had seeds in your garden and you only had one or two seeds, well, if you got more seeds and put them out more thickly, you know, thicker, and you'd have more flowers, more garden, more whatever you're planting there. And he says that's the way it is with this seed. The seed is the word of God. And so it's important that we get seed in us every day. Every day. And so he said some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Now, it says in verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes. Now, here's what I want to say about the wicked one. When you look at this and you study it out and you do just a breakdown of words in there through the Greek, it's really not about Satan. We always, or a lot of times we think it's talking about this is Satan's coming and snatching the word away. But really it's not. It says like hurtful things, calamity, malice, anything like that that's hurtful. That's what it's talking about. It's not necessarily saying this is Satan. And we always think that probably in our mind, but the wicked one. And here's something I want to give you today that's kind of different, but sometimes we are the wicked one. Sometimes we're the birds. Really, we are. Sometimes we're the birds. Watch what he says. He said the birds came and devoured them. And then back over here in 19, the wicked one. So the wicked one is defining the birds. And snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who receives by the wayside. By the wayside. Wednesday night I told our Bible students, I said, you know, there was a man standing at the bank right before I got on the interstate, probably around 2 o'clock on Wednesday. I was headed to the church, and he had this sign, and he had this gruff look on his face about Jesus saves, death or life. And that's what he looked like. I thought, this seed's probably on the wayside. But I had a good report to give to Bible students that were here Wednesday. I went the next day. I was coming out of that same place, and he was standing there. He had a smile the next day. So I don't know if one of you went by and told him what I said, or you know, but he had a smile on his face. I thought, at least you got a smile. Look like you're happy about it, you know, like you have chose life. You know, I'm going to die, but you don't have to, you know. And so he had it, but on the wayside. And here's what I believe. I think the wicked one, the wayside is just, you know, the wayside is like, it's not really ordained, is it? It's not structured. It's not got boundaries. It's just kind of, you just kind of envision the guy walking along and just kind of wherever and just scattering seeds out. And for us, in evangelism, I think that's what we do a lot of times. I mean, if they went in the restroom and above the urinal or somewhere on the wall, it's something about Jesus. You know, scratched in or put with the marker. I thought, you know, it's just really not a good place. You know, you're really marking on somebody's property that don't belong to you, and I thought, it's just not, that's the wayside to me. That's the wayside. Here's something else I think is the wayside. Whenever somebody really needs a word, and we think we know what they need, and we can pull out a list and show every bad thing they've done, and we say stuff like, well, you know, if you just change your stinking ways, you know, and we get this attitude kind of with like I'm kind of holier than you, and boy, if you're just more like me, or, you know, we don't say that, but that's the way it comes off. Because we're thumping people with the Bible instead of having speaking the truth in love or with compassion or mercy, and it's seeds by the wayside. They can tell we're and it's not maybe that even we want to, but out of frustration because they've gotten on our last nerve and they've hit all the family members and we just they deserve what I'm getting. This added, you've earned this. It's kind of by the wayside though, isn't it? I mean, when we give a gospel word with a wrong attitude, you think people don't pick up on that real quickly? They do, don't they? It's by the wayside. This is something God has dealt with me about in the last few years, is seed by the wayside. If I haven't invested anything in your life, probably it's going to be seeds by the wayside, unless the Holy Spirit prompts me and I do it with compassion and love. If I haven't invested anything in your life, And we're good at that, aren't we? We don't, people we haven't invested in, maybe we know them, but we hadn't really invested anything. When's the last time we just said, tell me where you're hurting, or tell me what's going on in your life, and just make it all about them? When's the last time we did that with somebody we're aggravated at? Because we don't really care. But if I get the opportunity, I'll give them some seeds. It's like seeds by the wayside. We become the birds. We become the bird that plants the seed and eats the seed. Because they're not receiving the seed from us because they know we don't really care for them. They know we have an attitude toward them. And so we become the sower and the bird. And then sometimes it's you know, have you ever witnessed somebody or talked to them and sat down and visited with somebody and they say, you know, I tried that once. Talking about this. I tried that once. It just don't work for me. It's kind of like, you know, wearing shoes and it's tight and you didn't do shoes anymore or something, you know, just don't work for me, you know. You just, I mean, it's ridiculous. And I tried eating once, but it just didn't work for me, you know? This is our spiritual life. And so he says, you know, they came and it just kind of, it wasn't structured, it wasn't a prompting of the Holy Spirit, it's just by the wayside, just kind of a, and there are times, isn't there times whenever you've had a word by the wayside where you weren't in church, you weren't in a really gospel setting, but the Holy Spirit through someone else just boom and just flinged the seed in your heart and it just stuck in your heart and mind and just like, it was revolutionary. It was life changing. Just from something said, a bumper sticker, too blessed to be stressed. See? That's not a biblical verse, but that's a good seed, isn't it? And so sometimes, by the wayside, where somebody's just saying something, especially if you hang around older people and you hear them say some kind of something that's profound and you pick it up just kind of in conversation, you pick it up and it's kind of like by the wayside, but boy, it gets in and it produces in your life. If we don't let people rob us of it. Last night we went and watched Dorothy out at the Senior Citizens out on Will Rogers, and she was Beulah. She played Beulah last night, and did a good job. You don't know it, but I was at the back of the auditorium there, and there was a group of ladies saying, "And that Mother Beulah, she's 86. Isn't she good?" And I don't see how she remembers all those lines. You know what? I'm like, my buttons are about to pop now, you know. I said, "Yeah, she goes to my church." and I told them, I said, and she comes in the aisle, the praise zone. She comes in just doing a little jig down the aisle. And they said, "Well, that doesn't surprise me. That's how I pictured her." But And not to take away from your acting last night, because you did a great job. But one of the greatest acts I saw you do last night is in between sets. Is when nobody's out there and they're taking a break. Dorothy came out. You know, she's not as speedball anymore. She's like the granny turning almost. You know, she comes wilding out. And there's a tray sitting there with stuff on it, glasses and sandwich stuff. They've been in one of their, and she gathers it all up and piles it up and takes the tray and lifts it up. And you know, at her age, that can be difficult in carrying it yourself, she says, you know. And so she takes it back to the kitchen. And that just touched me. That touched me as much as anything you did last night. Because that's what servants do. Servants say, "I'm going to sow a seed here because it just needs to be. It's just, there's a little mess here. It's not big, but it needs to be taken care of. And at your age, it would be easy to say, 'One of you young'uns, go get that off of there. You're faster, you're quicker, your balance is better." It would have been easy for you, but you don't do that. I've watched her plant seeds. One day I was in the kitchen and we came in, we Wednesday night meals, and I watched her come into the back door, and instead of going through the kitchen into the fellowship hall, she turned left and went right to the sink and the dirty dishes and just bent over and started scrubbing dishes. Yeah. We all saw them. We all saw them. But I'm just saying, those are spiritual seeds. Those are seeds that's by the wayside that you think nobody sees, but I'm telling you, I see them, and I'll tell you who else sees them, God sees them. Every time you go over and clean up a mess, God sees it. Every step we take, every act of service we do, it's not always by the wayside. It may seem like it, but it's recorded in God's book of life. And I love your attitude of servanthood. You are a true servant, Miss Dorothy. In our Bible study not long ago, she was talking about life change. She said, "Wait till you lose your driver's license. That'll do a job on you." But I love what you said when you finished. Yeah. You said, "But here's what I decided." She said, "I decided that I'll get to be a blessing to someone that gets to drive me around. I'll see who wants to be a blessing." Wow. I'll give somebody an opportunity to be a blessing. What does Satan do with that kind of stuff? What does he do with that? She's just not going to gripe about it. She's going to see who wants to be a blessing next. You? How about you? And Mark would probably say, I'll share that blessing. Who wants to be next? Yeah. But you know, you won't always have your mama to drive around. I don't have mama to drive around anymore. And so, you know, there's a blessing. But I just appreciate your service. And although it may seem like it's by the wayside, it's not. It's not. Some of the seeds you sow, when you're prompted to sow, and you think, man, that went off bad. I really felt led to say that, and I try to do it in a humble fashion, but man, that, you know, from the reaction you got from whomever or whatever the situation was, boy, that was terrible. Well, it may not be as terrible as you think. Just give God time to work. When I was a masonry contractor, I'd, you know, speak into hard-headed guys that work for me and through the life, you know, and they're out clubbing and fighting and smoking and dope and all, you know, all, and I'd speak into their life, and they knew my life, and I tried to shine, but I think, man, this is like talking to a stump. Because they could go do whatever they want to do, you know. But some of those guys, and several of them came back. One of them came back and brought his wife out here one Wednesday night years later and said, okay, I'm ready, and I led him to the Lord one night. Years later, when I thought he'd been by the wayside, it wasn't by the wayside. So there's a prompting sometimes that God gives us that we need to go ahead and say it and not worry about the response. Because it'll look like it's just by the wayside. It'll look like, I didn't get in. That's a waste of my time. I can remember saying stuff like that and then seeing God just take a seed and put it in somebody's heart and it stuck. It stuck. Even though it seemed like it was by the wayside. And then he says this in verse 5. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. You know, there's some gardeners in the room, and they'd tell you, you never go over to a rock patch and say, that looks like a good place to start a garden right there. You know, that rocky place right over there. You never hear a gardener say that, do you, Olin? I mean, Olin's a great gardener. You just never hear people say that, you know. And if you do, they probably need mental help. Look at that stony place over there. I think that'd be a good place for my tomatoes. It don't happen. But here's what I've seen. How many has ever been walking along in a little crack in the sidewalk and there's grass growing out of it? I think Bermuda seeds just thrive on it. Oh, look, a crack. You know, and they just head toward the crack. Tough, aren't they? They're tough as weeds. Unless you put shade over them. I mean, isn't that amazing to me how, and it speaks to environment, doesn't it? Some people, and some of you are like that spiritually. You know, if you've got a spiritual attack, you've got a, something that you need to pray through, man, that's when you thrive in life. You know, the shade is over you and it's a cloud hanging and you're like the Bermuda seed. You need sunshine. But boy, when that happens, you just, you know, you're bearing on through till you get sunshine. Spiritual. For my makeup, my personality, I can't stand it whenever there's a pressing issue that I don't know how I'm going to deal with. I cannot stand that. If it's a heavy, pressing issue in my life, here's what I'll do. I'll take about 2, 3, 4 days, whatever I need to take, and I'll wrestle with it until I get some kind of victory and answer from Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's like, and I've never had a baby, so don't, you know, I understand. But I'm just saying, it's like giving birth to something. You know, it's just there until, and it's spiritual warfare and stuff, and it's like a stony place to me, man. It's come up quickly. This is on the other side of this. It's come up quickly, but now I've got to get relief. I've got to know. I've got to know what He wants me to do. And then on the other side of it, haven't you ever witnessed with someone and you think, boy, they just, this is it. Maybe tears, they cry, and you think, that really was something, wasn't it? And then 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 4 months, next year they're back in the same old place where they were. You ever done that? I've done that a lot of times. Same old place where they came from. Doing the same old things. He said, that's a stony place. That's the stony place. He says in verse 20, he who receives seeds on the stony place, this is he who his heart, he hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Oh, thank you for that word. That was an awesome word. I've had people come in, you know, and I hadn't seen in a long time, and then they give me, oh, it's an awesome word. And then they just go back wherever they was from. He said, yet he didn't have any root in himself, but endures only for a while. Here's what I want you to get. That's normal. That's normal when people do that. It's not godly. It's not good, but it's a normal pattern. That's why he put this word in here. He said, so for a while, he endures for a while, but for when tribulation, and watch this, or persecution arises, what? Because. How many knows when you and I jump in this spiritual lake with Jesus Christ and we become Christians, how many knows that creates a whole new set of problems for us? That'll make you want to get saved, won't it? It's a whole set of new problems that we face now. Because of the Word, tribulation arises. Persecution arises. Because of the Word. We still get, how many still, you know, when you talk about your faith, how many still get a kick once in a while from somebody, you know, somebody new, and you invite them to church or something, and they give you a little, you know, a little kick back and a little snide word or something, or make fun, you know. This is not new. He told us, you know, this is because of your faith. When we stand for, you know, when we stand for relationships, sexual relationships being wrong and adultery and fornication outside of marriage, sometimes we get a real beating for that as Christians. I had one of my in-laws call the other day, and she's going to be a great grandma, and the girl's not married, and not tending to get married that we know of, and they're all fine with that. And I understand we have to accept what's being and work through it together, but if that was my child, I would be very concerned. My heart would be concerned about my kids walking on thin ice between heaven and hell, between life and death. That would be a big burden in my heart because of what the Word says. And because of that, we'll get thumped in today's society. We speak out against homosexuals or just say it's wrong. We don't speak out, but just say it's wrong. The Bible calls it wrong. We get thumped for that. Because of the Word. And so sometimes we don't take stands because of the persecution that arises because of the Word of God. Are you with me? It's easier just to lay low and not give opinion, or state of Scripture. And really, we shouldn't give opinions, but when it comes to people in darkness, we should give them the truth in love and let them decide. We'll be gathered together with probably the whole group of them this afternoon, right after church. We're headed out, and I've already asked God, is there anything that I need to say or not? And I'm not excited about it, but I just love people too much just to let them live in sin and not think there's any consequences. And if I do, probably I'll get thumped from somebody. But I've had so many thumps, I'm just immune now. Just thump me out of it. What was that? Some of you have been there too, huh? Then he says, you know, when the sun, verse 6, but when, you know, they when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered. In other words, and I think that's really key, because what it's saying is when a seed is planted in your heart and it's there and it's lodged, you know, it's like you put it in the soil, it gets in the soil of your heart, and isn't this true that it doesn't just boom and vanish, it withers away, doesn't it? There's a wrestling time with your conscience and your heart and your mind. Oh, I know it's wrong, but I, you know, and we wrestle, and it just finally withers, doesn't it, after a while, if we don't yield to the Holy Spirit. That quickening to come and to be righteous and to be holy and find life where life is, because there's deceitfulness. How many knows there's deceitfulness in this world that says, oh, if you're holy, you can't have fun? Yeah. You know, if you're holy, what can you do then? Well, what somebody said, what do you Christians do? I said, well, we eat mostly. That's about all that's left, eat, you know. Just messing with them. That's what, and that's what some people think, you know, if I'm Christian, if I'm sold out, man, I have to give up everything, you know. And that's why he says you'll never know until you die what you'll get. You'll never know what you get until you die. Because the seed, he said, you can put a seed in the ground, and if it doesn't die, it's worthless, and it'll never find life. But if that seed dies and it cracks open and that new life comes out, it's awesome. And it produces everything that God's called it to produce. He said, that is awesome stuff. That is the plan of God. That's powerful, isn't it? But you got to die to find it. You got to die to lust. You got to die to greed. You got to die to selfishness. You've got to die to whatever it is that's eating and gnawing at us. We have to die. And if we don't die, we're like this thing. We'll receive the word with joy because it gives us some kind of a temporary relief. But if we don't die, we'll be right back in the same old rut next week. Having the same old battle we fought last week, and the week before, and last year, and the year before, unless we die. And if it's on a stony place, even if it comes up, he said, you know what? You can't grow spiritual stuff on a stony place. You have to let the heart be, you have to let God do surgery on us and say, you know what? That unforgiveness can't stay there anymore. That's a stony heart. You can't let that bitterness stay there anymore. That's a stony heart. You can't let greed or envy or strife or you can't let any of the pride, any of that stuff stays. That's a stony heart. You may have something, I may have something come up for a little while, but the first trial, that's going to burn off. Because that's not really in us, because we can't let go of something. It's a stony place, and it just won't produce. It will not produce. Then he said, some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. And then he gives a classic description of the thorns. Look in verse 22. Now he who receives seed among thorns is he who hears the word, who hears the word. In other words, I think they're believers. Maybe you don't. But they hear the word and the cares of this world. How many knows if Americans can do anything well, we can stress well. And if we don't have something to stress about, we'll figure out something that we could stress about if that were happening. The cares of this world. Cares of this world. You need to remember that statement, because whenever we're stressing and we feel like the world's that's where we're at. The cares of this world are swallowing us up. And then he says this, and the deceitfulness of riches. You know what I've noticed when we went to Guatemala and Dominican and some of those places? We're no happier than they are. We got a lot more stuff. We got the new trucks and new this and new that. We're no happier than they are. You know what I've noticed? We don't worship any better, do we, Haley, than the rest of them. In fact, they worship, man, they're intense, aren't they? I mean, they get down. And so there's a deceitfulness of riches that says to us, money won't make you happy. In the book Thrive, and I think I mentioned this a while back when I read the book, but in the book Thrive it says, once all your basic needs are met, your food, your house, you got some kind of car, once those are met, if you double, triple your income, your happiness level would just go up slightly. Just slightly. But I thought, how much more time and energy and whatever will we give for this bigger income when it just slightly, our happiness and our fulfillment goes up just slightly? Isn't that amazing to you? That's amazing to me. And then you look at this and you say, oh, that's why. It's the deceitfulness of riches. Yeah. Amen. Have me be honest with me, Dave. Let's just take a survey real quickly and just say this. And who knows, maybe God will see your hand and give you a raise. But I would like to make a little more money than I make right now. Let me see your hand all over the building. Just honestly. For the few that couldn't raise your hand, for all of us that raised our hand, we're in the deceitfulness of riches. We're in the deceitfulness of riches. Because we all got everything we need. We all got everything we need, but we'd like to make just a little more money. Now, I understand some of that's just ambition and vision and your calling. I understand that. That's not all bad. But I'm just saying we'd like to, And whatever we make, we'd probably like to make a little more, you know, a little more. It's the deceitfulness of riches, what it will bring and give to us. And really, as Christians, if we want to make more, it should be because we've got some kind of God-honoring need that I'd just love to give more to than what I'm already giving. In fact, if you're giving to needs right now, if you made more, you'd just give to them. If you're not giving to needs right now, you wouldn't give to needs, even if you made more or charities. You wouldn't, because you don't now with what you have. Giving is not about having stuff. Giving is about here, isn't it? There's people, in fact, if you watch the is it The Secret Millionaire? Is that the name of that new show? Yeah. The ones that's doing the most work are these little guys around that don't have much, but whatever they have, they're sharing all across this nation with people that are just a little worse off than they are. And the millionaires go in and their hearts are broke because they see somebody doing so much with nothing and seeing what they're doing with all these millions, you know. And it's a mind trip on the millionaire. It's a great story. But if you won't give much, if you don't give the things that touch your heart now, you won't give if you had $1 million. That's the deceitfulness of riches. I've had people say, boy, if I won the lottery, I'd pay off the church. And they're not even giving much to the church right now. Why don't you start a principal fund? If you're serious, if you're not, shut up. You're in deceit. I mean that in a nice way, shut up, you know. And then finally he says, but others fell on good ground. Everybody say good ground. Good ground. And yielded a crop. They yielded a crop. Here's how you can tell if the seed that's from here is getting in here. What kind of crop do you have? What kind of crop are you making right now in all your spiritual areas, in all your financial areas, stewardship, whatever it is, what kind of a crop do you have right now? And you can tell because it's got in good ground. Well, I used to be like this. I used to be a mess and angry and short-tempered and blah, 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 you know, whatever you were. And now I've got peace and I've got joy and I've got whatever, you know, and you can see the crop. You can see the difference. I used to be in turmoil all the time. Now I've got peace of mind. I used to hate this many people, now I don't hate anyone. You know. I used to hang on to bitterness, and now I don't hang on to any of that stuff. That also is just because there's a crop in my heart, and there's joy in my heart and mind, and there's peace like a river that flows through me, and there's a crop. I used to fear death, and now I'm looking forward to the day that I will join Jesus and all my loved ones in heaven forever. It's a crop, isn't it? It's coming up. It's good stuff. So we ask ourselves, is it good ground? He said, if it's good ground, here's the results. They'll yield a crop, and some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. And I love his closing statement. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. You know what he's saying today? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. This is the gospel. This is seeds that's being sown spiritually. So the question is, what kind of a harvest do you have spiritually? What kind of heart do you have spiritually? What kind of mind do you have spiritually? You have what you've sown. I can tell you that. And if we'll let God come in and break up the fallow ground of our heart, and areas we're struggling in, and say, God, I'm going to start speaking. I'm going to start agreeing with your word. I'm going to start saying. I'm going to start living. I'm going to take action steps. I'm not talking anymore. I'm going to take action steps. Every time I hear you say to do this, I'm going to do it. Every time you say thou shalt not, I'm not going to. I'm going to sow some good spiritual seeds, and I'm going to have a good spiritual life. I'm going to wind up with you in eternal life forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today that clarifies our spiritual sowing. Father, we do pray today that in areas of struggle, areas of stress and strain, in areas we're battling spiritually today, mentally, emotionally, in our souls, we ask that you would help us to begin to repent, which will break up the hard ground. And maybe some may be here today saying, Lord, I don't need to repent. I've not done anything. But Lord, I always know from your word that if there's chaos and stress and strain going on in our heart, we have some part in it. So for whatever part we may have played, whether it was hating the one that hurts us or retaliating to somebody that had said something hurtful, for not believing God for all of our needs being met when we're sowing good seeds and we're working hard and we're doing what God has called us to do, we repent for that part. That's how we break up the fallow ground spiritually of our heart. And so we repent. And we ask in Jesus' name that as you break up the soil through a repentant heart, Lord, that you would help us to plant good seeds. And God, you said the good seeds come from the Word. They are the Word of God. So I pray that you'll help us to be diligent in getting into your Word and finding out what you said, what you have going on for us, what you want us to do, and what you said we should abstain from, so we can find life as we die to ourselves. No longer walking in the flesh, we're walking in the Spirit and enjoying the fruit, enjoying the life, enjoying the goodness of God. That's available to everyone in this building today. And I pray that for those that are living beneath the privileges, God, today that they'll begin to sow good stuff. Every day, just sowing good seeds. If they need peace, help them to get up and speak peace to others. If they need joy, help them to get up and just share some joy. To muster up some joy and share it and give it away. If they need a job, help them go out and serve somebody and give a service away. Just volunteer and give it away. Whatever they need today, help us to sow that in good ground. Good ground. Where you take us, where you lead us. So we can enjoy this awesome life that you left for us. You said that we should have life and have it more abundantly. And so you've made that possible. And so if there's those that are living below that privilege today, Lord, I speak over them. I speak blessing over them in Jesus' name.